and welcome to Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein. I have a special guest tonight. Her name is Denise Onofre. Denise is known as the relationship strategist for couples, and she is a licensed marriage and family therapist and sex therapist. She has a private practice in Denver, Colorado. Denise works with couples to connect on a deeper level, reignite the passion and desire that brought them together initially, and navigate through the intimate communication, which, of course, we all need. Relationships are hard, and Denise is here to help make them easier.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Denise. I'm so happy to have you on the show tonight. And for anyone else out there listening, this is a live show. So if you have any questions or comments, you can call in at 323-642-1569. So, Denise, again, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. I feel very honored to be a part of your show. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Ever since we met, I've just loved connecting with you. It's been really, really fun. So why don't you tell the audience a bit about yourself and just explain how you got into this industry?
Yeah, well, it was a long road, I can tell you, but I'll keep it brief. I always wanted to be a therapist. So since I was probably a teenager and I was lucky enough to go to therapy myself or needed it, and my parents were able to provide that for me, I was always fascinated with the process, and I've always been fascinated with human dynamics and human behavior, even as a little kiddo. I'm a bit of an old soul. So I always had that in my view. I always wanted to do it, and it just took me a while to kind of grow up and grow out of some, some immaturity, I suppose, in my own relationships to kind of propel myself into getting into graduate school, getting into my sex therapy courses. So I finally landed exactly where I wanted to be for a really long time.
Awesome. Yeah, I love working in this industry, learning everything about relationships, and I, too, was having, all these issues and like attracting all the wrong men. In fact,
mm-hmm.
I'm currently writing my signature talk, and as part of it, talking about all these horrible date stories, and they're just making me laugh. Like, I literally had someone try to walk out on the bill once. It was, great.
If you ever need help with that content, I'm sure I could come up with a few stories for you myself.
Well, wonderful. We'll have to talk more about that. So, what are a few essential lessons that you teach your clients?
Well, so if I was a listener right now, I would want to maybe grab a pen, because I have important pieces that I give each one of my clients, and I am very happily going to give them to your listeners tonight, because it's sort of my mission to teach relationships. Just we don't get enough relationship education. And we learn relationships from, what we see around us, but we don't get exposed to very much information. So I definitely want to give your listeners that tonight. And so there are seven key words. That's why I suggest getting a pen or getting out your phone and jotting these words down. They are the essential components of every relationship, and it's really the foundation and the roadmap for how I work with couples and even for individuals, because I think that these seven words have a lot to do with our relationship with ourselves. So the first set of words, four words, it's an acronym, and I use the acronym TABS, so kind of like keeping tabs on your relationship, but in a good way. So those words are trust, assurance, boundaries, and safety. And those are the four things that we are constantly striving for, whether it be between me and Carly and deciding to work together tonight on air. Those are four elements of our relationship, of every relationship, whether you're a parent or doing business, those four pieces are the essential items that we're always striving for. And we can go about achieving those in healthy or unhealthy ways. We've all done both. And so the healthy ways to achieve that are my other words. I guess there's three or four more words that I want everybody to understand how to behave in a relationship, so to speak, and even how to behave in a relationship with ourselves. And those words, I got them from Dr. Sue Johnson, are accessibility, reliability, and engagement. And the fourth word that I throw in there, that Dr. Sue Johnson didn't throw in there, but I do, which is responsiveness. Mm-hmm. So if you think about those four action words, that's how we can behave in relationships to build those first four words. So, for example, maybe I was unreliable with Carly in our business relationship. There's something that I would need to work on and rebuild or just acknowledge so that I can maintain trust, assurance, boundaries, and safety. Or with children, even with neighbors, we are always striving for those four things. And then those four action words are how we can sort of understand the playbook of being in a relationship with somebody.
Got it, got it. Yeah, I love that you added responsiveness because that's so essential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have all about how we respond to things is quite important, quite important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wonderful.
I think it's important, too, for us to understand what each of those words means to us as individuals so
yeah.
that when we're partnered up with someone new or we're partnered up and we're in a relationship for a long time, we can be able to communicate to our partner what responsiveness means. For some
right.
of us, it might be when I have a flat tire on the side of the road, I need you to be the one to figure out how to get to help me. And there are some people who don't need that sort of responsiveness. So really
yeah.
being able to get to know yourself so that your partner knows how to fulfill your versions of those words.
Yeah, that's great. I love that because we're all so different. So, you know, some of us have this, you know, especially women, a lot of women have this independent, I call it the independent woman complex, but, you know, where we're looking for more of a companionship type relationship because we've got a lot going on where, you know,
mm-hmm.
others are looking for more of a partnership type relationship and some are looking for dependency and all sorts of fun things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's amazing. I love it. All right. So you often say that we're all just tall babies. What does that
yes.
mean?
Well, that it always gets a chuckle with my clients too, or people even in my personal life. I truly believe that we can't possibly have evolved in, oh, I don't know, 30, 40 years. I won't call either of us out on our ages, but between you and I, we have not evolved so much emotionally since the moment we were born. We still need the same things today that we needed then. They just look different today. But the root or the foundations of what we need are not different, very different from when we were born. So we're on this earth 30 or 40 years at this point, or for our listeners, however old you are. I think that we get older, taller, and have more responsibilities, but those foundational pieces are going to be the same. So if you go back to your list of words that I had you write down or asked or suggested that you write down, those tabs, trust, assurance, boundaries, and safety, well, a baby, which we all were, we get those things fulfilled or not fulfilled based on our caregivers around us.
Mm-hmm.
And how well those things are established, trust, assurance, boundaries, and safety, how well those are, wired within us,
mm-hmm.
has to do with how accessible and reliable and engaged our caregivers were way, way, way back in the day. So then fast forward. It's a really fast trip. So fast forward to present day. we're in a relationship with yet another caregiver, only we chose this one. The other ones we were just born to.
Mm-hmm.
We chose these caregivers we have around us today. And so it can be even more sort of insulting to our, I like to call it like our guts, like our heart, our soul, our guts, whatever it is for you, spirit. It's even more insulting when we can't get those needs met by someone we have chosen to have that job.
Yeah,
and therein lies, yeah, therein lies the complexities of adult relationships for some of us, for a lot of us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wow, you just blew my mind. Like, I've never really thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, wow, I get, yeah, and that's where, you know, and because we've chosen that person, and when the those needs aren't being fulfilled, that's where it gets really complex.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Amazing. So when you work with individuals, how do you help them with their relationships with themselves?
Well, I think about it. If we haven't chosen a caregiver, well, actually, let's not even have it be about caregivers. Let's just have it be about ourselves as our own caregivers. So most of us are up and out of mom and dad's house or mom's house, dad's house, whatever, whoever raised us, whoever got us on our feet, so to speak. We're now on our own. We've been on our own. And I think a lot of that launching of young adults has to do with, like, how to earn money, how to save money, and how to, like going back to the how to change a tire. I think that's the second time I've mentioned that. These life skills, but we don't get a lot of, we don't get enough interpersonal relationship skills. And so I think about how can I be my best caregiver to myself? What are the things that if I were to be parenting myself, and I'm 40 years old and I could still use some parenting. You can even ask my own family. There are times I want and need my own parenting, but for the most part, it's my job to provide that.
Mm-hmm.
So with my individual clients, I talk about the pieces that are missing in sort of that parenting plan. So a lot of my clients will know better. I know I should be going back to church. I would love if I could get back to the mountains, but I just never get it done. And I ask my clients to think about that as if that was a parent saying that about their third grader. I really should get my third grader to eat better, but I just don't ever get to it. Those aren't exactly ideal parenting philosophies. Like, I just never get to the healthy food. My kid will be fine. Or my kid could really use some exercise, but I just don't have it in me to figure out how to do that. So we'll just move on. We'll just move on with day-to-day living. So I really ask my individual clients, how can you be the best parent to yourself? What do you need? What didn't you get, or what do you want more of? And how can you provide it for yourself?
Yeah. Got it. How can you be in alignment?
Yeah, some congruency. And then think about that congruent person, that aligned person,
mm-hmm.
who shows up at, like, what I call the relationship table. You show up very well parented by yourself and others to a relationship table, you know how to communicate with that other person. You know what you need. You know who's going to work with you or work, gel with you, kind of dance with you versus a bumpy, unhealthy relationship.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I find, you know, so many people have, you know, this is what attracts me to this business. And why I love it, not only my personal life lessons I needed to learn, but I find that, you know, 50% of marriages end in divorce. If that number is
mm-hmm.
even accurate, it may even be more now, a little bit or a
I
little
bet
less.
It's more, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, so also so many of us are growing up with these really bad examples of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And half of those that stay together are usually unhappy together. So, you know, we're walking around with all these unlearned, you know, things that we need to know, and a lot of it puts us out of alignment, that's for sure. Like, I grew up with a,
mm-hmm.
I mentioned this on last week's show, I grew up with a single mom who ran her own business, so she ran very high masculine energy, and she admitted to me quite a few years ago, she goes, I never gave you the tools you needed to find someone. Never showed you how to do it, ever. I mean, she still didn't tell me anything after that, but I was on my own path at that point. But it was kind of interesting to hear her go, wow, I really kind of didn't do that right.
I often will let my clients' parents kind of off the hook. Because most parents deserve to be off the hook, so to speak, because they too are just imperfect humans.
Uh-huh.
And so it's imperfect humans raising humans, and we're all just hoping that we're going to find love and lust and all of these wonderful things, and it'll be like a Disney movie. But the truth is, we're all just humans. She probably didn't give you any more because she still doesn't know what she'd give you.
Yes.
And that makes sense.
We have this conversation often now, actually. So it's very interesting how the conversation dynamic changes in the years. So Denise, I know you also work with singles and couples. So when couples get in ruts, how do you help them get out of their rut?
Ooh, this is my favorite. This is my passion. And actually it would speak to any of the listeners who aren't in relationships, because I want you to have these pieces about yourself so that when you're in a relationship, the rut is easier to navigate. Or maybe, well, I don't know, I was going to say avoid, but I don't know that they're avoidable. I think that my jury is still out on that. So let's just go with that we should be prepared for ruts. And so whether you're in a relationship or not, I think this is valuable information for you. So I help couples get out of a rut by dissecting with them, because they're the experts too, their interactional pattern. And so they look at me like deer's caught in headlights because they don't know that they have one. But it is typically that argument or that fight or that situation that leaves one or both of them feeling like, oh my goodness, here we are again. How do we keep ending up in this spot? I love this person, but this is the time that this person drives me bonkers. I don't know if I can do this any longer. These are sort of the things that run through our head when we have found ourselves back into that rut. And what's really, really, really important for people to know is the content of these arguments, so the subject of these arguments, it can change, but it's the emotional pattern underneath these arguments that matter. And I can explain that a little bit better. My example is, and it's pretty cliche at this point, when you're fighting about someone having left socks on the floor, that's content. That can be socks, that can be that you didn't shovel the walk, that can be I'm so sick of being the one taking out the trash, you name it. The content can change. But what I want to know from my couples is what each person is doing, and I call them dance moves. I got that from Dr. Sue Johnson as well, who is a mentor of mine, somebody I admire very much. What is each person doing? So you've left the socks, and then, okay, so then I slam the door, and I get huffy, and I leave the room, or I pick up the socks, and I throw them in the laundry with a big dramatic sigh, and you ignore me, and whatever might be happening. I want to know about each one of those moves, and then for each move, I want to know three things, and this is important for my single people listening, too. I want to know the emotion you felt in that dance move. I want to know the negative cognition, which I can explain if you want me to. And then underneath the negative, Yeah, I'll explain that. And then underneath the negative cognition, I want to know your fear. So in using the socks on the floor, I'll put myself in the hot seat. So socks on the floor for what feels like the 1,000,000th time this week that your socks are on the floor. Mm-hmm. Drives me crazy. So my emotions would be I'm mad, I'm annoyed, I'm bothered, I'm over it. I'm not sure that's an emotion, but I feel that one. The negative cognition under that, and I'll explain it a little bit more here. It's an I am statement that's negative. So in the socks on the floor example, it could be I'm invisible here, or I'm not listened to, the idea being that maybe Denise made up this rule that in this house, if we could just put the socks, like, in the laundry, that'd be awesome. But for some reason, my air quotes rule continuously doesn't get followed. So I begin to feel invisible, unheard. Can you think of some other ones that might fit in there? We've all been in these situations.
Right. I am...
Unimportant?
Yeah, that was about to just come out the mouth.
Yeah, and it can seem dramatic. They're only socks, right? But in the way that I work with couples, we're never going to actually be talking about the socks. We're talking about, can you imagine that those socks on the floor or that overflowing trash can or that late bill actually makes another human being feel unimportant by their chosen caregiver? That's what matters. And so underneath that negative cognition, I want to know, what's your fear? And oftentimes our fears are, if you can't show up for me about the socks, don't forget it's not really about the socks. If you can't show up for me about the sock rule that I created 19 years ago when we got married, what else don't you hear about from me, about me, that's important to me? So go back to those caregiver thoughts. Think about that being a child who is so ineffective, so ineffective, so invisible, so unheard. That is a scary place for a child to be. And so just fast forward 30 or 40 years, it's socks on the floor, but it's the same stuff, different day, that I'm afraid I'm not being heard or that I am important here. When I can get a couple to dissect a fight, so to speak, or whatever the kids are calling them these days, when I can get a couple to dissect those interactional patterns, the ones that they feel like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe we're talking about this again. Once we dissect them and we look at the emotions, the negative cognitions, and those underlying fears, it completely changes the way people look at their mates. But more importantly, it changes how they look and experience themselves. Because I don't have to yell about the socks on the floor anymore. I now know I need to figure out a way I can feel important here, that I need to feel seen and heard. What am I going to do about that? Because it's no longer going to be that I yell about socks. Mm-hmm. It can't be.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that we tend to let, like, the littlest things. So, for example, you know, I have two roommates, and one day, and I'm like, this is just, thank you. I guess I needed to hear this today. Even knowing everything I know, it just, when it's explained in a different way, it just sometimes it rings a different bell. But she often gets on me for not doing dishes. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I probably do them more than anyone else in this house.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? So one day she got on me, and I felt the emotion come right up from, you know, my... Mm-hmm. Root chakra up, and I lost it. Like, and I was like, what is this? And I felt like she was my mom. Like, it triggered all mom stuff. And it was great that I was able to look at that. I'm like, wait a minute. And she's not a chosen caregiver either. She's roommate. So it was like, you're trying to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not feeling it. So, you know, going, oh, wait, why did this trigger me? Oh, I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it triggered mom stuff.
Yeah, there's always that good stuff. What do you think your negative cognition was? In the way I describe it to clients is it's that negative I am stuff, those negative beliefs that are just kind of pumping through your blood all the time, sadly enough. That are just kind of highlighted.
Yeah, well,
like that happened.
I didn't feel appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
I felt invisible. Like anything I had done that week was not seen or noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now I'm getting in trouble. Like it was this, I'm in trouble. Feeling is really what it came to, you know, I felt like, and I'm like, why am I getting in trouble from my roommate?
Mm-hmm.
When that's not how this dynamic is working in my head. So yeah, that, you know, those were the negative connotations. I felt unappreciated, invisible, and you know, in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait, I mean,
when your roommate
for doing the good stuff. Yeah. Huh?
So you and your roommate entered into scorekeeping.
Uh-huh.
I did it this many times and I did it that many times, and it's an interactional pattern. I'm sure roommates, you're going to have them with anyone that you have a relationship with. It seems though that we worry or we work on the ones with intimate partners because a lot of times there's children or there's a lifelong commitment here where you can get sick of your roommate enough that next year maybe that person won't be your roommate. But the dynamics and the underpinnings are still there because it's in a relationship too.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it's an intimate relationship when you live together, regardless of the you know, dynamics of it. When you live with someone, it becomes intimate. They see you walking around without your clothes on sometimes. It's very interesting. And, you know, I lived by myself for 11 years and then ended up moving in with Dad to help take care of him for a little bit and then moved into here. So, yeah, living with people after living by myself for so long has definitely been quite the experience. So, Denise, I'm going to go ahead and move into a little bit of a commercial break and song break.
Okay.
So we can take a small break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more. And, again, if anyone wants to call in and ask Denise or myself a question or make a comment, you can dial 323-642-1569 and just hit 1. And we will be right back.
Hello, I am subconscious. Don't be afraid. I am yours for too long. I am the projector, and you the projection. And I am always supreme.
Say it, I can't think. What could you be? My friend, my friend. Hi, this is Evelyn Champagne King, and on behalf of me and my brother Johnny King, we're very excited to be a part of Faces of Success 2016 Old School Celebrity Reunion in Reno, Nevada, at the Grand Sierra Hotel. We'll be making our way down the red carpet, performing my new single, Dance All Night, so you don't want to miss it. It's going to be a lot of great talent. See you there.
Okay, hello everyone, and welcome back to Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein. I have Denise Onofre with me today, and we are talking about connecting and many other things. So, Denise, what does our nervous system and personal experience, or how does it impact our relationship?
So this is probably one of those very basic foundational components that I try to get each one of my clients on board with. And it goes back to being responsible for what we bring to that relationship table. So I like to think about relationships, I like to think about people as being their own individual universes. And there are things happening on my universe that my partner is not responsible for. He has no idea they're happening. They are things that are in my universe and would be there no matter who I was partnered with. It's my stuff. It's my stuff that I bring to the table. And so I think it's really important for all of us to be educated enough about our own stuff to know when we need to regulate our nervous system, and I can talk about that a little bit more, versus expecting our partner, who is in an entirely different universe, expecting him or her to be able to. And so what I mean by that is, let's go back to your roommate, for example. Your roommate and the dishes and the mom stuff, that's all on your side of the relationship table. It is not necessarily your roommate's responsibility to soothe you or make you feel better about your mom's stuff. Now, you guys can work on seeing eye to eye about what's fair in terms of sharing the household. But essentially, you got triggered. I'm not a really big fan of that word, but I haven't come up with another one, a better one. But you're essentially, what's happened is your nervous system spiked. That's what a trigger is. So your nervous system can go through the roof. It can go through at least like the first floor. It is our job to regulate it, not our partner's. And I think that when we can get a hold of that in our own world as individuals, we are going to have much more harmonious relationships because we're responsible. Don't forget that we are sort of looking at that chosen caregiver. It's almost like a parent role, and at times it is, and at times it's why we have a chosen caregiver. When my chips are way, way, way down for whatever reason, I really do need my partner to lift me, to parent me, to guide me, to support me, to take care of the heavy lifting like a parent would. Mm-hmm. But in everyday living, I have me, he has him, and it is my job to take care of sort of those smaller hiccups, if that makes sense. Maybe you have questions about that because you're someone maybe hearing that for the first time too. Maybe you have a question about it.
Well, it's
or not.
Interesting because you said I'm very in touch with my body and I can feel things like energy move through it. So when I got really mad that day, I literally felt the energy, like I said, move through my body. I got really hot and boiled up. And normally when I do that, I know I'm going to say things I'm going to regret later. So I typically like to just walk away. Sometimes I have a laser mouth, and which, funny, we'll be talking about that with Rick Taylor next week. But anyway, I'll have a laser mouth response immediately, but as I'm like walking out of the situation. But then I find sometimes I feel that I need to get away, and when things are keep coming at me, I have to keep getting away, and I just get more and more heated. Like, I was like, I haven't been that mad at anyone in a really long time. So I think it brought up a lot of stuff I had been holding back and not really expressing and saying. So,
Sure.
Yeah. So yeah, it's I don't even remember the question I was going to ask now that I got
well,
on that topic. But
well, if I could say too, like you just said it so crystal clear to me. So if you go back to those first words, trust, assurance, boundaries, and safety. Mm-hmm. Now I know this sounds a little what would the word be? A little contrived. It sounds a little hokey. But can you imagine if you were having the dishwashing argument with an intimate partner and you needed to walk away so that you could shut down the laser mouth and just bring down your nervous system a little bit before you engaged with him or her?
Mm-hmm.
What you're asking for is boundaries. I need this boundary. And if you let me have it, if you're responsive to me needing this boundary, our trust, our assurance and our safety is going to benefit from that.
Yeah.
Hugely. We just have to teach your roommate to be more responsive to your needs for boundaries.
Yes. Yes. And now I'm more aware of it, I can definitely say something because I walk away and then get text messages. And I'm like, God.
Yeah. Yep.
You got to let me cool down because you're just feeding the fire.
Yeah.
Like,
and
don't
so that's your
feed the fire
system.
If you don't want it
mm-hmm.
to burn. Oh, I like that. I'm going to write that down.
Mm-hmm. That's your nervous system getting higher and higher. So I talk to my clients about being like a 0 to 10. We're very rarely at 0 because we're animals. We have to be ready to react. But, you know, so you're probably at 3 or 4 and roommate says something. You're 4 or 5. You try to walk away. Roommate's texting you. You're 7 or 8. It's your job, believe it or not, to instill those boundaries. So if that means, you know what, I'm shutting my phone off.
Yeah.
So please stay out of my zone because I'm trying to regulate my nervous system so I don't say things that are ugly. That's the name of the game. It's all about nervous system regulation. So mindfulness, meditation, mind-body connection, all of that has something to do with healthy relationships, even with our roommates.
Yeah, love it. Well, and Denise, you're also, I'm going to totally kind of flip subjects, but you're also a sex therapist, and I want to talk a bit about that. And really kind of tune into why someone might need a sex therapist and, like, what issues are you experiencing that could be normal that you may need help going through to where a sex therapist would benefit from. So can you talk to us a bit about your sex therapy work?
Absolutely. So sex therapy is a very broad term, but it is a it is, in the way that I'm working with sex therapy, I'm traditionally working with couples who are in medium to long-term relationships, marriages typically, in my practice. But this is true for any long-term relationship. So we're talking 7 to, I think my longest married couple at this point is probably married almost 40 years. And so my clients typically come to me because of a difference in desire, a difference in libido or a difference in sex drive. Those are all sort of synonymous. Essentially, I have couples who love the heck out of each other. They're not going anywhere on each other, but things need to change, and they need to change fast. They may be in a sexless relationship, which clinically is considered, I believe I'm going to get it right by saying, having sex 6 times in 12 months is considered sexless. And this is an experience a lot of my couples have had for a long time, and they don't know what else to do. They've thought about it plenty. They've tried to figure it out on their own. So they come to me to figure that out. And oftentimes, in my practice, it is things that we talked about previously that need to be thrown out on the table and understood about how they interact intimately outside of the bedroom. And then we work sort of, quote, in the bedroom and get the relationship aligned in those ways. And oftentimes, at least statistically in my practice, it's women who often say to me, if I never have sex again, I'm okay with that. I don't need it. I don't want it. I'm not interested anymore. And they oftentimes in my practice have wonderful husbands that are imperfect but good people. They don't understand why they don't want to have sex with their husbands. They just know it's true, and they know that they need to get something figured out because their marriage is on the line or their quality of life is on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do, and I love it.
Got it. Yeah, it's amazing. And I experience, you know, with working with people who are having intimacy issues as well, and it's, you know, it's not really about the sex, it's everything else around it that's creating the problem. So it's I love that. So what are some practical tips or tools? I mean, you shared a bunch more, but if you have any more, any other little tidbits that you want to leave the audience with, what tips or tools do you have to share with the listeners that they can just start using immediately in their relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. And if I could say, too, I think it's important, and I'll just take a moment to say it. For some of those folks coming to me in my previous answer who have lost an interest in sex, it's important for me to say, too, there are often times that we discover sexual trauma or trauma in these women in men's lives that, you know, in their early 20s or their marrying kind of age, they were hoping that if they could just get on with the next part of their life, that things will be okay. And it feels that way at first. And I just need to speak to that oftentimes life gets more normal and you're going through your routine and some of that trauma resurfaces. And that is something that I work with people as well. So it's not all about, let's just get you back in the bedroom. Sometimes there is some real work that needs to be done around trauma before that intimacy can be more authentic. So I just wanted to say that for any listeners, because it's a very important part of our sex lives is the trauma that's happened to us prior in our lives. Those initial or those things to start today. Well, I think it might be a little redundant, but I used to be a teacher, so I know that works. I think it's really important for everybody listening in or outside of a relationship to really, really do some soul searching. So you can do this by journaling or making a voice memo on your phone or talking it out with somebody. I really want everybody to consider what these things mean to them. What does it mean to you when someone is very or optimally or ideally accessible to you? What does that look like? Because it's going to look different for me than it will for you, and I want you to know what that is for you. So when you enter a relationship, you can identify the people that are really good at it, or you can help your current partner be more of that for you and you be more of that for them. So accessibility, reliability, engagement, and responsiveness. I think that if folks could really get to the nitty-gritty of what that means for them as individuals, they'll change not only their relationship with themselves, but be able to communicate with other people about how to relate to them and meet their needs. So that would be meeting those trust, assurance, boundaries, and safety needs.
Yeah.
So I would think if all of the listeners could do that for themselves, and I also think learning ways to regulate your own nervous system. So like going back to the roommate, you figuring out a way to get her to not affect your fire.
Yeah.
As opposed to yelling at her to back off or whatever it might be. So nervous system regulation and doing some of that self exploration about what those key pieces, those key actions in relationships, what they look like for you.
Yeah. Love it. Yes. Thank you so much. So, Denise, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, I didn't even get a chance to talk about it tonight, but that is because I get on soapboxes and I'm so passionate about all the things that I teach people in session, that I didn't talk about the program that I have created for couples specifically. It's the Connection Strategy for Couples. It is the art and science of mastered relationships. And so if folks went to theconnectionstrategy.com, you can learn more about that program. And, of course, there's like a million different ways to kind of bounce around that site and find out more about me and my practice and all the different ways that people can work with me. So I welcome you to go to theconnectionstrategy.com. And I think, you know how it gets all confusing when other people do your website, but I'm pretty sure my landing page or my homepage is myrelationshipstrategist.com. And from that page, if you click on Let's Connect, any of our listeners tonight, I would love for you to click on Let's Connect, shoot me an email, let me know that you were listening tonight. And I have many tools, little cheat sheets, so to speak, that help my clients with each of the components I talked about tonight. And I would love for you to just shoot me an email, and I'll shoot you back some of those tools so you have them on hand. Essentially, notes from tonight and the tools that you can use to make these pieces easier for you.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being on the show this evening.
Thank you. This was so much fun. I feel like I could do this almost every Sunday.
Right?
I like it.
It is a lot of fun. We'll have to have you back on the show sometime next year to talk more. The hour goes by so fast, doesn't it? So
it does.
Yes. Yeah, so again, thank you so much, and you'll all be hearing more from Denise. We've just discussed some more things that she'll be contributing to the show soon. So again, I want to thank you so much for your contribution and it beautiful, amazing content tonight.
Thank you so much. Any way I can shout from the mountaintops about what I want people to have for their relationship, I welcome it. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And again, the connectionstrategy.com is the best way to find out what Denise is up to. So we will be right back, everyone.
Hi, this is Evelyn Champagne King. And on behalf of me and my brother, Johnny King, we're very excited to be a part of Faces of Success 2016 Old School Celebrity Reunion in Reno, Nevada, at the Grand Sierra Hotel. We'll be making our way down the red carpet, performing my new single, Dance All Night, so you don't want to miss it. It's going to be a lot of great talent. See you there.
Thank you. And again, this is Carly with Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein. And, I'm so excited for our June old school reunion event next year. We were just talking about yesterday, and I just can't wait. So I want to talk to you a bit about next week's show. I have the amazing Rick Taylor. Rick Taylor is a personal coach and therapist. He works with men in his private practice in Lone Tree, Colorado, and we'll be talking about intimacy and conflict. Rick's approach to long-term success in relationships has everything to do with how we fight. This can lead to other topics like building good communication skills, sex, confidence, porn, power, trust, and who knows what else we'll get into. So I'm extremely excited to have Rick on the show. I met with him about a month ago and had a 3.5-hour-long conversation. So Rick has a ton of things to bring to the table that I can't wait to share with everyone. And again, want you all to stay tuned. We're going to have a men's tell-all show and a women's tell-all show coming up in the next few weeks, and much more to come. So this is Carly signing off with Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein. Have a great night.